Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
And we're back for another edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we're set to talk local sports for the next hour. Throw in some national sports as well. But on the local sports front today, we are going to be joined by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. We are 5 weeks away from the start of the football season. 5 weeks. Emory right here on KOAL, Carbon on our sister station, 95.3 The Peak. The Dinos will kick things off against Manti. Emory going toe-to-toe with Richfield in the opening week. We have a lot of important dates to talk about. The Carbon Dinos are actually going to start their first, I guess you could call it camp, Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Coach Huntsman's going to talk about that. Plus, there's an important parents meeting coming up as well. So Coach Josh Huntsman will join us next segment here on Drive Time Sports. And outside of that, well, we'll talk national sports, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL. A lot is going on. In fact, we will start with the NBA as we always take a look at the national sports headlines. Carmelo Anthony, whose time at OKC is just about to come to a close, has already started meeting with other teams. The Thunder have allowed Carmelo to meet with two squads already, one being the Houston Rockets, the other being the Miami Heat. Three teams have been labeled as a possible destination for Carmelo. It's the Rockets, the Heat. The Lakers were the other team that was discussed last week. That's to no surprise. Anyone who may be leaving their team all of a sudden is connected to the Lakers. But it is inevitable. Carmelo's not going to be wearing an OKC uniform next year. This is actually going to save the Thunder about $100 million. Sam Presti, who's the general manager for the OKC Thunder, and Carmelo's agent, Leon Rose, they've been working to try to get a fast resolution to this problem. Here's the thing with Melo. Nobody is going to trade for him because of that massive contract. It's not happening. And so basically, the Thunder are going to have to use the stretch provision because he is going to clear waivers. It's not going to work. And then someone is going to be able to pick him up. That's what's going to happen. That contract makes a trade one of the most unlikely situations in the NBA. I know that Melo still has good basketball left in him, don't get me wrong, but at that price, it's not going to happen. So if the Thunder do in fact use the spread option for his salary cap hit, it'll be $9.3 million over the next 3 years. That's what Melo did to OKC when he elected to opt in. Now, once he opted into that final year of the contract, he did lose a little bit of control over his future as well, because again, they could trade him, but he does have a no-trade clause. But I think Carmelo saw the writing on the wall. He did hit a career-high 169 three-pointers last season. I think he provided some space for Russell Westbrook in the playoffs. And again, if you're a Jazz fan, you notice this. Over the course of six games, he was next to useless for OKC. That's over the course of six games. Stretch four was his position alongside Westbrook and Paul George. It just didn't seem like a nice fit, and I think a lot of that falls on Billy Donovan. If, in fact, Melo was to land in Houston, it's a better fit. Houston needs someone very badly at the three spot, not the stretch four, but the three. The Rockets have already lost Trevor Ariza, and they lost Amute yesterday when he signed a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. So they need some help at that three spot. And again, with him being able to hit the three-point shot the way he proved he could last year, I honestly think Houston is the best fit for him. Miami is a little bit, that's kind of a head-scratcher. It really is. I don't know why the Miami Heat would want to bring in Melo when you take a look at what they have on the roster front to back. A lot of question marks for me on this team. They're still paying Chris Bosch, by the way. They got to pay Bosch at least throughout this year. He's going to make $26.8 million. Hassan Whiteside, Tyler Johnson's got a not-so-good contract. Goran Dragic, meh. James Johnson has a fair contract. Deion Waiters has a big contract. Kelly Olynyk. To me, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense for him to go to Miami. And we still don't know what the future holds for Dwayne Wade. I know that draft class, they're a close-knit group, and I would expect Carmelo to still meet with L.A. But again, I'm in no way, shape, or form saying this guy can't play. I think there's some good basketball left in him. It just has to be the right situation. And the way Houston plays with Mike D'Antoni, it's the right situation. If you can look beyond the fact of Melo and D'Antoni can patch things up, because it did not end in New York well. To me, I think it's a great fit. I would actually expect him to end up in Houston. Let's take a look at some of the other news and notes throughout the world of the national sports front. No day baseball today. I get bored when there's no day baseball. I look forward to having one on in the background, even if I'm not watching it, just to know that there's some day baseball going on. Plenty this evening, though. 5:05, the Yankees with Tanaka on the mound will take on the Baltimore Orioles. Baltimore right now at 25-66. The Yankees are looking for win number 60. They're at 59-30. On opposite ends of the spectrum. I know Baltimore has been monumentally bad this year, and maybe it's because of the success that Kansas City has had over the past, what, 5, 6, 7 years? Kansas City is equally as poor, and nobody's really talking about it. Maybe a lot of it has to do with the fact that Manny Machado was still on the Baltimore roster as well. I don't know. But yeah, Baltimore is bad, and they are the butt of a lot of jokes right now in regards to Major League Baseball. In the National League, we get the Nationals going toe-to-toe with the Pirates. Joe Musgrove will take the mound tonight. Nationals at 45-45. Interesting game last night. The Pirates got up big. Bryce Harper and Juan Soto both end up going yard in this game. Boy, Harper hit a walloper. I mean, he drilled this ball over to center field. Wasn't enough, as Pittsburgh did get the win, and again, the Nationals are back at the 500 mark. They have a chance to climb back over that mark as they take on the Pirates again at 5:05. 5:10, we get the Rangers and the Red Sox. The Reds will take on the Cleveland Indians. The last month, the Reds have been one of the best teams in the National League. 11 games under 500. They'll take on the Indians, who are at 49-40 in the worst division in Major League Baseball, 9 games above 500, and they have such a comfortable lead for first place. Trevor Bauer will be on the mound for the Indians. 5:10, we get the Phillies and the Mets. The Brewers will battle the Marlins at the same time. 5:10, we get the Tigers at the Rays. The Blue Jays will travel to meet the Braves at 5:35 tonight. 6 o'clock hour, Cardinals at the White Sox. That one's at 6:10. The Royals will battle the Twins. We get the A's and the Astros. I actually like this matchup quite a bit. Houston right now, 61-32. The A's at 51-40. And the A's have played really good baseball, but it's been under the radar in a sneaky good division. You know, a division that has Houston, the World Series champ, Seattle, who's 23 games over 500, and you got the A's 11 games over 500, and they've won 3 straight. They actually beat the Astros 2-0 last night, and they took 2 out of 3 against the Indians just a week ago. So really, when you talk about the AL West and how entertaining that division has been, do not forget about the Oakland A's. And then at 6:40 tonight, we get the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. Very interesting pitching matchup. Patrick Corbin, who is 6-3, that ERA, it's starting to climb a little bit. I don't know, a month, 2 months into the season, he looked like he was going to be a legitimate Cy Young candidate. Arizona in general had a very poor stretch of baseball. Tyler Anderson will till the rubber tonight for the Rockies. He's at 6-3 with a 3.9 ERA. That game is set for 6:40. We get the Cubs and the Giants at 8 o'clock, the Mariners and the Angels at 8:07, and the Dodgers will take on the San Diego Padres. Rich Hill will be back on the mound for L.A., Eric Lauer for San Diego. The Dodgers last night picking up a win. They improved to 49-41 with that victory. Andrew Tolles comes back, and he goes yard for L.A. in the win. So that's a look at some of the national sports headlines. It is the dog days of summer. It is a little bit more quiet, more abstract conversations. Yesterday, we talked a lot about Major League Baseball and the All-Star Game and some of the format changes that would be good should every team be represented. Yeah, I could go back and forth on that. I don't want to go down that route again. But at this time of the year, you do have to rely on a little bit more abstract conversation. We'll have some fun ones a little bit later on in the show. We've got a break for just a moment. Local sports recap is coming up. And, of course, Coach Josh Huntsman will join us in the studio in just a few moments. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Former Carbon High School golfer Riker Smith has qualified for the Optimist International Junior Golf Championship in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. 120 golfers battled for four spots in the 54-hole qualifying tournament at Sleepy Ridge in Orem and East Bay Golf in Provo this past June. Smith shot a 73-72 to make the 20-player cut through 36 holes. Over the final 18 holes, he shot a 68 to qualify with a final total round score of 3-under for the 54-hole tournament. Smith will now represent the Pacific Central Utah District at the Optimist International Tournament July 27th through August 1st. The competition will feature 140 golfers from around the world. The Optimist International Junior Golf Championship is one of the largest and best-known junior golf tournaments in the world. Smith, a three-time first-team All-State selection at Carbon High School, will continue his golfing career at Southern Utah University this fall. The Dinosaur Tire Les Schwab Cowboys Memorial Rodeo will take place on July 27th and 28th at the Castledale Fairgrounds. Filled with events on both nights, the Cowboys Memorial Rodeo will be sanctioned by the Rocky Mountain Pro Rodeo Association. Both evenings will include all of the traditional rodeo favorites. Entertainment this year will include the Jeff Kill Band performing live on Friday night after the rodeo. Admission will be free with your paid rodeo ticket. The Dally Ribbon Roping Jackpot will also take place both Friday and Saturday nights during the halftime intermission. All tickets for the rodeo will be general admission. Adult tickets are $10, kids 6 through 11 are $6, and kids 5 years or under are free. Concessions will be available, giving families a dinner option each night. We move over to baseball, and the Helper American Legion Merchants will take the field tonight as they play host to Roosevelt beginning at 6 p.m. This will be the first game for Helper since June 30th when they went toe-to-toe with Skyline. The week-long moratorium came to an end for high school sports yesterday. Helper will enter tonight's contest with a record of 6-3 in Southern Division play. Only four games remain on the schedule before the state championship tournament, which will take place July 19th through July 21st. Following tonight's game, Helper will return later on in the week to play host to Westlake before wrapping up the home portion of the schedule on July 14th this Saturday against Springville. Now, while Helper will return to the field today, Price will take the next couple of days off. Their next contest will go down on Friday against Westlake. Start time for that game is set for 5 p.m. Following Friday's game, Price will wrap up the season on Saturday as they go toe-to-toe with Vernal. Price right now is on the outside looking into the playoffs. They are currently sitting 0-11 in league play. And we end by taking a look at Drive Time Sports. And today on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, we'll be joined by Carbon High School football coach Josh Huntsman. Coach Huntsman will join the show to talk about the offseason program for the football team, which will actually pick up this Wednesday. The team will start training at 6 a.m. in the morning, and they'll also be preparing for a camp that will involve two other schools from outside of the area coming in to prepare for the upcoming 2018 season, which gets underway on August 17th. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions. And only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
We're going to talk more high school football here on Drive Time Sports. We're getting closer and closer to the kickoff of the 2018 season. And of course, right here on KOAL, you will be able to follow the Emory Spartans throughout the entire season with live play-by-play action. But also this year, we have added Carbon High School to our stable. The Dinos, you'll be able to follow all year long on 95.3 The Peak KRPX. And we are actually going to talk Carbon High football right now. We'll bring in Coach Josh Huntsman. There's so much to talk about. Carbon is getting ready to begin a camp this week, and they'll also welcome in a couple of schools in the next few days. Coach, always a pleasure to get you in. Thank you.
I definitely appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, Coach. Hey, we're getting there. It's the middle of July already. We're not that far off from the football season itself. It kicks off August 17th, and Carbon will take on Manti to get things off and rolling. But this is a very important week for the football program.
It definitely is. Yeah, we've got camp coming up here on Thursday. We get started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we've got our parent meeting 6 o'clock that night. Hope to have 50-52 kids out for that, and then, you know, a few more stragglers coming along as we progress through camp.
Well, let's start by talking about the camp. 6 a.m. in the morning, you guys will get rolling. And I know you kind of want to do things a little bit different in the evening. It's more of team building, right? Camaraderie type deals that you guys will have.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, you can only do X's and O's so much. And these kids need to get with their teammates, get with each other, and make sure that, you know, they build that brotherhood and that camaraderie to where they can get through a whole season with each other.
So what are some of the things that you guys will focus on in the morning at the camp?
You know, we're going to, you know, a coach will tell you all the time that they've got to get back to fundamentals. Usually it's after they've gotten their butt kicked in a season, and we definitely need to get back to fundamentals. We need to do the little things to help ourselves out, you know, angle blocking, you know, drive blocking, you know, just all the little things that you have to do within a football season to get better. And, you know, we've got a lot of younger kids that are coming up, and we want to teach them the proper way as well, you know, right off the bat.
I know that when you get to this stage in the summer, you can absolutely tell which kids have been in the gym, which kids have been working or at least studying and attempting to get better. Once you hit the middle of July, you can tell.
Definitely can. And as soon as you put on the shoulder patch, you'll definitely know who's been doing what they're supposed to be doing, who's been in the weight room, who's been coming to 7-on-7, who's been doing all those things. You know, you get kids that will be out there, they'll just be lost. And, you know, we'll take the first couple of days and we'll find them and we'll get them back on track. But, you know, you definitely know who's been doing what they're supposed to be doing all summer.
Now, with the state rules that we have, what are you allowed to do this week as far as your practices on the field go?
We're going to be in helmets the first couple of days, and then we'll be helmet shoulder pads, and then we'll be full pads. The first couple of days, what we do is we install both our offense and our defense, and, you know, make sure that we're dropping to the right places on defense, make sure that we're hitting the right holes on offense and doing those things. You know, we'll do a lot of work on against cans and against stuff like that. But, you know, they give you 3 hours the first day. They give you like 5 hours the second day. There's a whole formula that they have on how many hours they'll give you per day that you can go and what you can and cannot do.
Of course, getting acclimated to the heat is so important. You guys will start at 6 in the morning. It's cool. So are we 9, 10 o'clock? That's when you guys kind of bring it to a halt?
Yeah, we definitely want to do that. And then we want to come back, you know, around 6:30 in the evening when it gets cooler. But, you know, starting next week, we'll have a couple other schools that will be in for their camps at USU Eastern. And so we'll be doing some scrimmage type stuff with them. And that usually happens probably 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And so we're going to try to do that in the heat of the day, where, you know, it gives you a little bit more pressure on you. Make sure that you're focusing on the things that you need to do.
Is that basically full contact when they come down?
It definitely is, yeah, other than the quarterback. We try to stay off quarterbacks. We don't want to hurt those guys. But we pretty much go full tilt, you know, 40 in. And, you know, one team gets it 10 minutes, the next team gets it 10 minutes, and you just use your time and whatever you get, you get. Whatever you lose, you lose. So,
up to this point, Coach, are you happy with what you've seen this offseason? I know there have been a couple of camps. We've had you in to talk a little bit about that. Are you, I don't want to say satisfied, but at least pleased with where the kids are at?
Oh, we've taken a step. You know, that's the big thing, is we've taken a step forward. And, you know, as long as you're moving forward, you're not moving backwards or you're not stalled. And so we have taken steps this summer to get better and to do the right things. You know, we're definitely in that mode of simplifying things down for our kids. We've got, like I said, we've got that younger group that we're going to start working with, that we want to make it as extremely simple as we can for them so that they can be successful out on the football field.
I know you guys have had some, I don't want to say uncertainty, because you have the quarterbacks in place, but you guys have only had one quarterback during this offseason.
We have. You know, Jalen Dennis was our quarterback for the summer, and he did a fantastic job. We're going to continue working with him at quarterback, and he's going to probably transition into a role at running back for us, and we'll start working with Jared Atwood currently, and, you know, we'll just wait for Noah Jones to get back from boot camp. And, you know, all of them were doing good things. It's not like they were out messing around doing stuff. You know, they were fulfilling family responsibilities and military responsibilities, things like that. And so it's good to get those guys back. But now we know that we have three solid quarterbacks that we can use at the varsity level. And, you know, it's going to be a battle for those three to decide who's going to take that job.
I think Jalen is, it's interesting, because here you have a younger kid that you're going to transition him into a different role. I mean, look, if you want to learn every nuance of the offense, be the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious as to what his growth is, maybe not even physically, but more from an IQ standpoint.
You know, he's an intelligent kid. He's got a lot going for him. He's got, you know, just like all of us, he's got things that he needs to work on. But he's a very intelligent kid, very good football player. And I think, you know, wherever we put him on the field, he's going to be successful, because he's been in that position to where he's had to tell a wide receiver, no, you got to run the route like this. Or he has told a lineman, no, you got to pull here, or you've got to do this. I mean, he's going to be extremely successful in any position we put him in this year.
I know he's played defensive back for you guys as well. So how has his secondary play improved based on what he's learned as a quarterback?
Hopefully a whole bunch. You know, as a quarterback, you know, his first read, he's got to look straight down the field, figure out where the free safety is, which way he's drifting, and then he can make his reads off of that. And so I think it's helped him at the free safety position, realizing, you know what, I know the quarterback's looking at me now. So, you know, he can start to play those games with that quarterback and make sure he gets the throw that he wants to get thrown from a quarterback, so that he has an opportunity for interceptions. I think he's going to have multiple this year.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino Football Squad. Coach, who are some of the other individuals that have stood out to you throughout the summer at some of the camps that you guys have attended?
You know, Colin Lewis has stood out quite a bit. You know, big fullback's done a great job for us. McCabe Bradley stands out for us, you know, anchors us at center, anchors us on the defensive line at nose tackle as well, and will do a great job. You know, it's hard to say who's really stood out, because all of them have just done an exceptional job getting better at what we do. And you know, the offense that we run and the defense that we run, it's not derived on one person. And mm-hmm. so we're going to get a lot of people involved this year, and there's going to be a lot of guys that will get touches. We're hoping to have, you know, multiple backs with 800,000-900,000 yard rushing this season, just because of how our offense is designed. And and we've got a whole stable of them. We've got 6-7 running backs that can do a great job this year. Bunch of sophomores that will be juniors this year, and then we've got a couple of juniors that will be seniors. And I mean, it's going to be fun watching this group of kids. I think that we've got a lot of talented players this year.
Coach, let's transition and talk about the parent meeting. That'll be Thursday night at 6 p.m. What are some of the things that a parent can expect if they go to this meeting to prepare for the season?
Well, this meeting, we're actually going to sit the parents down and go through Register My Athlete with them. There's a computer, an online thing that they have to do, and that will, you know, they have to read through all the state material. They have to do those things, and they have to, you know, get their kids a physical, that type of stuff. We've got a free physical coming up here soon. And, you know, we want all of our kids to be ready to go by August 1st. We're actually going to turn kids away on August 1st. So if they don't have a physical, if they haven't paid their fees, those type of things, we're going to turn them away. Just because it puts such a stress on our athletic director trying to make sure all these kids are eligible, trying to make sure that they have all of their paperwork, their documentation in. And so, you know, come August 1st, if they don't have stuff in, we're just going to say, you know what, we'd appreciate you doing the stuff that you did with us all summer, but we're going to have to let you go. We've got to cut them that way. We've got to draw the line somewhere. And I mean, we were still trying to get kids to pay fees the night before we played Manti, and we can't have that. And so we're going to have this parent meeting quickly, you know, get them online, get them doing the things that they need to do, get all their fees paid, get everything taken care of, and then we're just ready to go.
And this will be Thursday night, 6 p.m.
Yeah, it'll be Thursday night, 6 p.m. We'll have both athletic director will be there to answer questions, and Mr. Bean will be there to answer questions as well. And we're just going to, you know, sit down with them and go over expectations that we have for parents and give assignments, do those type of things, and ask them to get their information filled out and just be done. Get ready to play football.
And this will be at the high school auditorium?
It'll be at the high school, actually in the library.
Okay.
So I'm not sure which entrance we'll be able to use. They're doing some waxing on some floors, and so one of the doors will be open.
Well, Coach, let's transition back over to football before I let you go. You did mention a team camp coming to USU Eastern next week. This will give you guys an opportunity to go up against not one, but two high schools.
Yeah, Summit Academy and North Sam Pete will be over. Give us some good competition. We did the same thing with them last year where we did a couple of days where we'd go and just hit each other. It's always nice when your kids have an opportunity to hit kids from other schools. You know, you beat up on yourself all summer and you beat up on yourself all season, and it's really nice when your kids get to go out and hit someone from another institute of learning.
Yeah. Well, it is controlled aggression. It's always great to unleash that controlled aggression on someone else other than your own teammates. I don't think there's any doubt.
It definitely is. And, you know, and our kids are excited for it. They're looking forward to these two teams coming over and participating in this camp with us.
It seems like this has been one of the most football-filled summers I can remember here in the local area, Coach, in quite some time. We've talked about the All-Star game and a couple of camps in between. I know you guys didn't go to the Ute and Shoot, but you know, more than made up for that. I mean, there was plenty of opportunities for kids to get involved and get set for football this summer.
Yeah, there definitely was, and we had kids that went to individual camps as well to get better at their craft. And that's the one thing about football. Football is a week thing. You know, you only get to play one game a week typically, and with basketball, baseball, softball, all these other sports, you get to play multiple games. Ours, we practice more than we play. So it's fun when you get to the season where you can actually show what you've done over the summer, and you know, not taking away from any of those other sports, but you know, it's tough when you're beating on each other, you know, 4 days out of the week, and then you get to go hit someone else. It's always nice.
And no doubt. Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to stop by today to talk about the off-season programs. Again, that parent meeting is going to be at 6 p.m. at the high school library on Thursday. And on top of that, Coach, you guys will begin camp Thursday, 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yep, we're definitely ready to go. It's going to be a fun season. You know, we look forward to all the games that we have on our schedule. Going to have a great homecoming game with Emory High School. It's going to be fun. You know, it's always nice when your two local schools get to clash, and it's a meaningful game.
Yep.
And so we're excited for that. We're excited for what we have coming up. We're excited for, you know, the kids that are seniors now. And it's, you know, football's here. It's time. It's time for us to get rolling. It's going to be a fun season. So we appreciate you sitting down with us and visiting, and hopefully we can get a few more kids to come out because they've got a chance to listen to some of the things that are going on the radio here.
Awesome, Coach. Thank you so much again for taking out the time. I know we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Again, that's Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon High School football squad talking about the camp. Again, Thursday morning, 6 a.m., things will get rolling for the football team. And then Thursday night at 6 p.m., there will be a parent meeting as well, which is highly important. You can find more on the Carbon High School football team by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. And we got a break for a quick moment. We have plenty more coming up right here on Drive Time Sports when we return.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! Win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. This is going to be a different conversation. I don't know if you heard the news. There's the proposed match of Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson going toe-to-toe for $10 million on the golf course. Just a head-to-head match. Phil and Tiger. Interesting concept, right? We're talking about two of the top 12 golfers of all time. I don't think anyone's going to argue about that. Two of the top 12 of all time. A lot of money on the line. They're going to go toe-to-toe. We can call them frenemies. Anytime Phil and Tiger are around a golf course, you're going to see pictures, you're going to hear stories. According to a report, the match was already supposed to take place. This is from golf.com talking about the $10 million play event. Mickelson and Tiger both have said that they are looking to get a date done so they can do it. And I started thinking, how big of a production would this be? And how big of a ratings bonanza would it be? You know, what would the production be like on an event like this? Is it pay-per-view? Because I think you could sell pay-per-view on this. I really do. Is it Mayweather-McGregor? No, because you don't have the intrigue of someone coming in from another sport. It's not Tony Romo against Phil Mickelson, and even at that, nobody would watch. But to take two of the top 12 of all time in a sport and put them head-to-head, we don't get that very often. And by no means is Phil or Tiger in their prime, but at the same time, they're the two golfers that bring the most energy around the sport. When I heard of this, the first thing that popped into my mind was Seabiscuit versus War Admiral, right? The 1938 match race at Pimlico. That's one of the events that just popped into my mind. I remember Michael Johnson went toe-to-toe with Donovan Bailey. Again, that was an interesting one-off event. You had Michael Johnson, who set the world record in the 200 meters, Donovan Bailey, who set the record in the 100 meters. Bailey easily beat Michael Johnson. Johnson had a pull-up with an injury, a quad injury, I believe is what it was. You know, we could talk about one-off events all day long. Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. Well, a little bit different because that was a battle of the sexes, right? This event of Tiger and Phil is so interesting to me, and it's really, the possibilities are endless on what they want to do. I mentioned pay-per-view. I think the pay-per-view could definitely, I think you could put it on pay-per-view. If you're going to put this on regular TV, I'm telling you right now that the 5.1 million viewers of the 2018 U.S. Open, well, you're going to get more than 5 million viewers. Final round of the Masters had 13 million viewers. You could approach that, no question. But I started looking at one-off events, match races, these kind of, I don't want to call them side pieces, but that's basically what they are as far as the world of sports goes. And one of the greatest games that was never played involved an event that would have been called King of the Court. And it was a one-on-one matchup between Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. And it was scheduled to take place at Caesar's Palace back in 1990. And it was just a one-on-one game to 15. Ones and twos, one-on-one game to 15. At that particular time, Michael had not won any NBA championships. Magic had five, so it was before the two met in the NBA Finals. I think that game in itself is more intriguing because there's different styles. We're talking about the physicality, right? I would favor Magic in a one-on-one game against Jordan at that particular time. But if Jordan was younger, Magic would have been able to stop Michael. I don't know that Michael could have stopped Magic. It's not an indictment on MJ. But I'm just looking at size. I'm looking at specific aspects of the game. Magic may have had a hard time stopping Michael, but I don't think Michael could have stopped Magic one-on-one. But see, that's a what-if conversation. Golf is so much different because we're not talking about the physical abilities of these two guys. We know that they're two of the 12 greatest of all time. And they're somewhat similar in a, do I want to say ability? They're more similar than Magic and Michael would have been in 1990. Magic was towards the end. I know he was the reigning MVP, but he was a lot younger than MJ at that particular time. And the reason why this game never happened had more to do with it turned past bragging rights and it became more of a business. There were marketers trying to get in on this. And the NBA Players Association did everything they could to prevent this from happening, because back when this was actually being discussed, it looked as if it was going to be something that would be a reoccurring theme. You know, every summer we'd get the two best, and Magic and Michael were by far the two most marketable at that particular time. I believe Magic was coming off, he was coming off his MVP season. And I think it was something that was going to become an actual series. I mean, think about this. We would have had Kobe and LeBron because those are two competitors that would not have backed down from that. You know, would we have had Malone and Barkley, Duncan and Garnett, Shaq and Olajuwon? This is something that could have taken on a life of its own. I was reading about this particular story on Bleacher Report, and they obtain court documents. And according to those documents, the league was accused of paying the players' union as much as a little over $1 million to block off-season matchups. And then you have to ask yourself, from the question of marketability, would it have played a factor? If Jordan would have lost that game, would it have played a factor? If he goes one-on-one with Magic, does that affect his marketability? Couldn't beat Magic one-on-one? I don't think so. To me, it's more of an exhibition. But that was an event that could have brought in a lot of money. I believe that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson is something that will bring in quite a bit of money and would be a spectacle. Here's one of the other ideas and one of the issues, though, that you have with golf. Golf has to be played during the day, right? That's a problem. If golf took place at night, I would probably watch it a little bit more. When it's Saturday afternoon, I'm not watching golf. According to the Golf.com report, this particular event could take place at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. That's fine. It's a great spot for this, right? Vegas. One-on-one matchup, a spectacle, because that's what this would be, a spectacle. You could play that at night in most areas of the country. You know, you have it at 7 o'clock in Las Vegas time. You get through 18 holes. Would it be entertaining to watch 140 strokes of golf? That's the question that I have. I would watch this. But again, going back to the Magic versus Jordan, the king of the court, something that never took place, could this actually be good for the sport of golf? I know I've talked to a lot of golf enthusiasts who have said this is ridiculous. $10 million is too much money. Look, this event is going to produce more than $10 million if these two get together. I'm curious to see the production aspect of it. Me being a casual golf fan, I'm fine with it. I know it goes against the grain, and I'm not a purist when it comes to the sport of golf. And this is going to upset a lot of hardcore golf fans when I say it. There's probably only 10 guys on the PGA Tour that I really care about. And so this can only be a good thing for the sport. Again, you look at the ratings. 5.1 million viewers for the 2018 U.S. Open. 13 million viewers for the final round of the Masters. You're topping that. If it's match play for $10 million, even if you don't care about golf, it's Mayweather-McGregor all over again. I know there were different variables. You had a guy stepping in from a different sport. I get it. But even if you cared nothing about boxing, if you cared nothing about MMA, you were at least somewhat intrigued by the outcome of that match. At least somewhat. Because it's a spectacle. Again, I mentioned Michael Johnson and Donovan Bailey. I hope you remember when that happened. That was a very big time. 1996 was a very big time for track and field. Those were a couple of legends. I'm not a huge track and field guy. I watch it. I watch it during the Olympics. I remember watching Donovan Bailey and Michael Johnson going toe-to-toe. Match races, I bring this up. They're spectacles in sports, and I think they're good for the sport. They don't hurt them. Mayweather-McGregor did not hurt the sport of boxing. It did not hurt MMA. Made Conor McGregor a lot of money. As far as Floyd goes, made him a lot of money. Because people paid to watch it. And I guess the term that we could use is barbershop talk, right? It's casual Friday talk. Who would win in a match between Tiger and Phil if you just went toe-to-toe? You didn't have to worry about anything else. Two guys on a course. That make a difference? It's going to make a difference. It's kind of like the McGregor-Mayweather conversation. I still have conversations with friends about the Jordan and the Magic game. Who would have won one-on-one? That's what makes this interesting. It doesn't harm the sport. It's good for the sport. But golf fans are so pure. They love... They're almost like baseball fans. I'm a baseball fan, so I can relate. You love the purity of the sport. You love the traditions in the sport. This breaks that a little bit. But look, if Tiger and Phil go toe-to-toe in a $10 million match... I am watching. There's no questions asked. We got a break for just a moment. See, I told you that segment was going to be a little bit different. We were going to go off the rails a little bit, talk more abstract, because it's the dog days of summer. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll put the final touches on this Tuesday edition of the show.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Take that for data.
Back to close out this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, but bring in Travis Anderson for this final segment. Travis, I want to talk NBA. Two reports came out today. First off, Philadelphia 76er interim general manager Brett Brown was talking about his offseason meeting, free agent meeting, I guess we could say, with Rich Paul, LeBron James' agent. And he said he felt that LeBron strongly considered going to Philadelphia before going to L.A. That was the report earlier today, and I thought that's kind of odd. I never really thought that Philly was going to be an actual destination for LeBron. Didn't see that happening. Brian Windhorst, who everybody knows is LeBron's, I don't want to call him the right-hand man, but he's got the media connections to LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes out and he says that's not the case. He may have considered him, but he never strongly considered them. We could throw all the he said, she said thing out the door. Is LeBron closer to winning a championship in L.A. than he would have been if he went to Philadelphia? Your thoughts on that. Where does he have a better chance of winning an NBA championship? Not only for next season, because he was going to sign a three-year deal, four-year deal if you count the player option. Where does he have the best opportunity to win another championship, L.A. or Philadelphia?
The Lakers.
Why?
Because with the way the Lakers have set things up with guys on one-year deals and the ability next season to add players around LeBron James that kind of fit what the Lakers want to do, maybe a Klay Thompson, there's Kyrie's available. There's so many guys next year that the Kawhi, unless he gets dealt before then. So the Lakers cap space and the ability to get LeBron has set the Lakers franchise up for the next 10 years.
In Philly, this would have been interesting. I don't know if LeBron could handle playing with Joel Embiid, and I think Joel Embiid is actually going to be a detriment for Philadelphia moving forward as far as luring free agents. He doesn't seem to be a well-liked person within the circle. He rubs people the wrong way. I don't know if he could have played with LeBron. But beyond that, Ben Simmons. Could LeBron and Ben Simmons coexist?
I don't think so. I think LeBron takes away what Ben Simmons does very well, and that's doing a lot of things defensively, offensively, kind of that Swiss Army knife where if LeBron comes in, LeBron's going to want the ball, and I think it takes Ben Simmons out of his spots.
Yeah, Ben Simmons can't shoot.
He can't. So bringing LeBron in, you're going to rely on Ben Simmons shooting those outside jumpers. It just wouldn't work.
Right. We know he can't shoot. He needs the ball in his hand to be successful. Okay, and this brings me to my next question. If Ben Simmons, who we agree can't shoot and needs the ball in his hands to be successful, why is going to L.A. with Lonzo Ball better for LeBron?
Because Lonzo doesn't want to score. Ben Simmons wants to score. Lonzo's a guy that's going to set people up, get the other players in their spots, where I don't think Ben Simmons gets other guys in the correct spots. Where we've seen Lonzo Ball last year, he got people in the spots. You can go back to that Philly game where Lonzo Ball got the ball from Ingram, drove baseline towards the basket, drew the whole defense towards him, kicked it out to Ingram. Ingram made the three. I just don't think Ben Simmons would have made that play.
All right, so as it sits right now, L.A. or Philly, teams that are sitting right now, we're going to assume that the rosters are the way they are going to be going into the season. I'm not talking about a potential Kawhi Leonard deal. I'm not, because both of these teams are rumored to acquire him. The way they sit right now, who's better, L.A. or Philly, right now?
The Lakers. They got the best player in the world, and LeBron James. And the Lakers, I think, beat Philadelphia twice last year without LeBron. So I think the Lakers are a better team because they have LeBron James.
You think LeBron strongly considered going to Philly?
No.
He never met Philly face-to-face. His agent did it. He only met one team face-to-face. That was L.A. I think he knew exactly where he wanted to go going into the offseason. Wishful thinking for Philadelphia.
They're just bummed.
Look, they're the second-best team, third-best team in the East. I'm willing to put them top three. I still like Toronto. Boston is the clear-cut favorite. Philly's top three.
They are.
Trust the process, Philly. LeBron's not part of that process.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
He never considered it.
I don't think he did either. Out of time on this edition of the show, I want to thank Coach Josh Huntsman for taking out the time to join us. We will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Remember to check out CastleCountryRadio.com for archive shows and also featured in coaching segments. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Have a great night. We are out.